Richard Dalton joins us, the former UK ambassador to Libya and Iran. So, Richard, hello.
Hello.
I mean, you've said that Britain and its allies must explore how armed humanitarian intervention could take place in Libya. Could you expand on that?
Yes. What I was suggesting was that we needed to be ready for different contingencies, starting with the need to get humanitarian assistance into communities that might still be affected by fighting, through to possibly, if there was legitimacy for it, imposing a no-fly zone or other intervention to bring suffering to an end.
Other intervention? This sounds like the sort of liberal interventionism that was the credo of Tony Blair. What do you mean by other intervention? Would you go further than just
a
no-fly
zone? It's quite clear that the international community has put force into territories that are racked by fighting. It has done under internationally legitimate circumstances. That requires consultation in the region and support from the region for what you intend to do. It also requires requests expressed as formally as they can be in these potentially chaotic circumstances by the people you're seeking to assist. The best way of doing it is, of course, through a UN resolution in accordance with the provisions of the UN General Assembly resolution setting out how you do international armed humanitarian intervention. My concern was simply that we shouldn't let the opportunity slip through lack of consideration, thinking through the options.
George Galloway, if this would save lives, would it be a good option?
How telling a phrase, Sir Richard's last, that we shouldn't lose the opportunity, because that's exactly how it would be seen in the Arab world, an opportunity to rescue some of the vast investment that British and other multinational corporations have made in Gaddafi's Libya. And it's because it would be seen by them as an opportunity, and a hypocritical one at that. There was no no-fly zone over Gaza during Operation Cast Lead, when five times the number of people were bombed to death by, of course, another of our allies, Israel, that it would be roundly rejected on the ground in Libya, contested there, and indeed throughout the Arab world would make our position worse. The people of Libya are going to bring down the dictator, and they'll probably hang him from a lamppost if they can get their hands on him. And if not this Friday afternoon, then probably next Friday. The last thing they need is wandering in from Blunderland, the upper-class, upper-crust British aristocrats like Sir Richard and his schema.
Sir Richard, would you care
I'm sorry George is making it offensive. I thought when we met in Libya for discussions with Libyan academics about how we would work together internationally, all of us, that we got on rather well.
Yeah, but anyway, actually you were furious at my speech, which was denouncing the government that you'd been sent abroad to lie for.
Hello?
Hello?
Sir Richard?
Yeah, could you repeat your question?
Oh, George Galloway was saying you denounced his speech when he was...
No, you asked me a question before that.
I think that's a no comment on my regard.
Okay. What sort of... We're discussing the kind of intervention you're suggesting, but might I put it to you then that if we were to intervene in any way, that would be counterproductive, perhaps, because it would justify Colonel Gaddafi's shtick about defending Libya against foreign invaders. So that would in a sense bolster his propaganda. Would that be a danger?
Neither you nor George listened to what I said. George simply produced a pre-prepared spiel.
No, I was picking up on your very words.
Let's listen to Sir Richard.
I said that to be legitimate, it had to be based on regional consultation and regional support. So I've dealt with the point that George is making. Clearly, armed humanitarian intervention is not about rescuing anybody's investments. There's no way that legitimate international intervention, agreed by a wide range of countries, working together, consulting regionally, following requests, which incidentally have already been received from people in Libya, not necessarily with sufficient formality, but to say that people in Libya would straightforwardly reject it is simplistic and untrue. So the situation isn't clear yet. The important thing is that people should be ready in case it's the best course of action to prevent suffering.
Yeah, this is it, George Galloway. We've been hearing from people this week who are saying, why aren't they helping us? Why aren't the Americans helping us? Why aren't the British helping us? Why aren't the Europeans helping us, you know, from this dictator? You say he'll be, perchance, hanging from a lamppost by the end of the week or the end of next week, but he's hanging on in there, isn't he?
He is, and of course the better, because he was supplied with weapons by Sir Richard and his crew.
That is a straightforward lie.
Sir Richard and the Foreign Office.
Well, justify that statement then, okay. Sir Richard, I'll come
Sir
back
Richard
to you.
Sir Richard and the Foreign Office that he served were there to supply Colonel Gaddafi with as much as they could sell him. That was why a diplomat of the seniority of Richard Dalton, who once rescued me from incarceration in the occupied West Bank, I have nothing personal against him. It's the class and caste that he represents. He was sent there. Our diplomatic relations were upgraded.
What's class and caste got to do with it?
Because it's precisely the ruling class of Britain who are now scrambling to try and protect the investments that they brought into being. Class and caste has everything to do with it.
John Prescott was a deputy prime minister. Is he of that class and caste?
No, he's not. But I'm not sure that he had as much to do with Britain's Libya policy as Sir Richard.
Well, Gordon
and,
Brown.
And the rest. Well, Mr. Blair, of course, is the one you're struggling to find the name of. He's the man who was responsible. And he's certainly from that class and caste, Labour prime minister or not. But anyway, that's a diversion. The point is this. That the United Nations will not authorize any such armed intervention. Sir Richard knows that, which is why he used the formulation that it would be better if we got United Nations permission for it. We're not going to. So what he's really paving the way for is an intervention that does not have the support of the United Nations. So he falls back on regional consultations. Consultations with whom? The military junta in Egypt? Who is going to consult and agree such an intervention? And then lastly, he says that Libyan people are asking for an intervention. They are not. There's a huge poster in the square in Benghazi saying, whatever you do, please don't give us any humanitarian intervention. Just stop propping up dictators.
But we've been hearing from people who are saying, please come and help us, come and save lives.
The situation is not clear, as I've already said. Yeah. The fact is there are these voices arising. It's probably not enough to get the kind of consensus going. Okay, fine. But this suggests that because there's just been revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt, regional consultation is not possible. Is ludicrous.
It's not credible.
Arab League,
it's not credible. Neither
Union,
neither country has a democratic
in
government.
The region. George, I'm speaking.
I tell you what, don't talk down to me, Sir Richard.
I would like
I'm not
to
one of your
George,
servants.
Let's just hear Sir Richard, please.
I want to go back to the circumstances in which diplomatic relations with Libya were renewed in 1999. I don't recall George opposing it. The fact was there was consensus across the political community in the UK that on balance it was the right thing to do. And the delegations, including Labour members, including George, who came to see how we were getting on in those very early days, didn't say that it was the wrong thing to do. What the hell are you doing there? They said, keep at it and see what you can achieve to make relations between Libya and the international community and the UK constructive, building on the way in which Gaddafi had himself improved Libyan conduct, ditched his support for international terrorism, handed over the Lockerbie for trial, started to talk with us about cooperation on development in Africa, and so on.
Can you understand?
Forth.
These points are well made, but can you understand? I'll let George Galloway have a final say in just a minute. But can you understand the discomfort that so many people feel that we were selling weapons to a man who, if he lived on your street and got a gun license,
well,
you would
not
be
aware.
Extremely worried about.
I don't know what people are talking about on the sale of weapons, frankly, because none went through in my time.
The tear gas that was sold was also used to quell the protesters. How will those protesters feel about the fact that that tear gas was British made? Will that possibly sow some seeds of resentment in the future, or do you think they'll...
I think it will do, yes. Mm. And it shouldn't have been sold. I'm quite clear about that. We need to have this discussion on the benefit of, with the advantage of the kind of clear sight we had at the time, rather than distorting what people thought and did at the time with the basis of 2020 vision,
yeah.
and in the light of the appalling conduct of Gaddafi and his family most recently.
Yeah. George Galloway, final thought.
Yeah, it's extraordinary how some of the best educated men in England were so fooled by a brute like Gaddafi and his flashy son.
Why did you go to Libya?
Well,
then,
I went there to speak to academics and denounce the government that you were serving.
You went to Iraq, George, yeah, and you met Saddam Hussein.
But nobody fooled me there. Sir Richard's now telling us that he was fooled.
But did you not? Did you not salute his indefatigability?
I didn't, Nicky. And if you've got time, we'll go into all of that. But the point is, Howard Davis, the head of the LSE, the Libyan School of Economics, has just resigned. Sir Richard Dalton, one of the glittering stars of the British diplomatic corps, has just told us that he was fooled by a brute like Gaddafi and his flashy son. Loads of money, Saif, flashing his money around. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. They were investing in a tyrant for the advancement of British capitalist interests.
And okay.
I tell you this, Nicky, if there's a revolution in Saudi Arabia today, Sir Richard and his type will not be calling for a no-fly zone over Saudi Arabia.
Do you want Gaddafi to hang from a lamppost?
I do.